Ellis.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kevin Anderson. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Leonard, the appellant in this matter. I would reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
3 minutes for rebuttal.
Your Honors, we are here due to a summary judgment order from the trial court in favor of Grubb and Ellis, the respondent in this matter. And we'd respectfully request that this court reverse and remand this matter back to the trial court, as Mr. Ellis has presented all elements to establish a claim against Grubb and Ellis, as well as in doing so has established that genuine issues of material fact do present themselves and should be put forth before a jury for determination. The first issue in Mr. Leonard's negligence claim against Grubb and Ellis, Your Honors, is the existence of a duty, which largely hinges on foreseeability. And in my best estimation, is the crux of this matter between Mr. Leonard and Grubb and Ellis, the breach of duty, the resulting injury.
Well, let's talk about duty, because that's a legal question.
Yes, Your Honor.
In this context of a de novo review. How did a duty in this case arise? What specifically? You talked about foreseeability, but that's not necessarily the sole factor. What's the duty? How did the duty arise here?
Your Honor,
for example, you know, a landowner has a duty with respect to people coming on the property. No landowner here. Tell me what the duty is.
Your Honor, I believe the duty that Grubb and Ellis owed Mr. Leonard is the fact that Grubb and Ellis was the property manager in charge of electric services for Microsoft, and Mr. Leonard, as an employee of Microsoft, who was known to be on the campus, was expected to be on the Microsoft campus, fell under the umbrella of Grubb and Ellis's duty to provide electrical services to Microsoft. We'll never see an individual come in the courtroom named Microsoft. Microsoft is made up of numerous employees, and for lack of better comparison, Your Honor, Mr. Leonard is just as much a part of Microsoft as Steve Ballmer or any executive on the Microsoft campus. So, With the duty that, you know, Grubb and Ellis, the respondent, might say, well, we didn't have a duty to Mr. Leonard, it was to Microsoft.
Well, let me ask you this. What case do you rely on to establish this alleged duty of Grubb and Ellis to Mr. Leonard?
Your Honor, as in respondent makes reference to that, Your Honor, I don't believe, in my best estimation, I have not found a case that says this property manager who failed to provide adequate electrical services has a duty to an employee of that particular company. I would, as I alluded to, Your Honor, I'd paint that more broadly, that Mr. Leonard fell under that umbrella of Microsoft. And I believe, Your Honor, that it was foreseeable with the inadequate operations of the electrical services and equipment that it's foreseeable that Mr. Leonard would be using these services, whether that be a computer or whether that be this elevator that he was on at the time of the power outage. It's foreseeable that when these pieces of equipment that require electrical power don't receive electrical power, they're going to stop working, and there may be an injury that occurs. And that's exactly what happened to Mr. Leonard in this case, Your Honor. An example that I can think of would be, it's Washington Holdings that is the property manager of this building, Your Honors. If they're charged with mopping the floor or mopping a bathroom floor and don't abide by the industry standards or customs and leave a big old puddle on one of those floors, and one of Your Honors, God forbid, and unfortunately slips on one of those puddles, they can't turn around and say, well, our agreement was with the Court of Appeals, not Judge Spearman, not Judge Cox, not Judge Verellen. that technically, in a roundabout way, gives them immunity, which they don't have, because there's nobody named the Court of Appeals. You gentlemen are the Court of Appeals. And that is essentially what happened to Mr. Leonard, Your Honors. He had every right to be on that campus. He had every right to be using the equipment on that campus. He was an employee of Microsoft on the date of his injury. And due to the fact that Grubb and Ellis in this matter, which we have uncontested and unrebutted expert testimony that says so, they didn't abide by industry standards and customs for a property manager in charge of electrical services and failed to manage, operate, and maintain the electrical equipment in their control. And the result, Mr. Leonard was injured on an elevator.
Let me turn your attention to a motion for sanctions here.
Yes, Your Honor.
What's the basis of that?
Your Honor, I actually have that in my – can I actually grab those notes real quick?
Yes.
Thank you.
And while you're doing that, I just want to get some preliminary understanding.
Okay.
Grubb & Ellis was in bankruptcy, I guess, in New York. Under federal law, that bankruptcy is an automatic stay against any actions or proceedings. And you were advised of that some point.
We were.
And came to this court seeking relief. My understanding of the federal bankruptcy law is the only court that's authorized to grant such relief is the bankruptcy court, not this court. So tell me why there's a sanctionable action here.
Your Honor, this, as Your Honors know, this matter has been before or pending in this court for quite some time, even at the point where Respondent Grubb & Ellis did file for bankruptcy in the Southern District of New York Bankruptcy Court. I believe that happened in the latter part of February of 2012. We are just now here on the merits for this matter, 13, 14 months later. And Mr. Leonard had to fight to get his matter heard before this court. When they filed for bankruptcy in the Southern District of New York, this court through the commissioner asked if this bankruptcy would affect this matter before this court. Our office wrote into this court in response to the commissioner, stating that no, we don't believe it did. Because there was case law out there that said we could proceed against the insurance. That was all we wanted to do was proceed against the liability.
There's no insurance company here, only Grubb & Ellis. So why did you feel that you had the authority to continue this action?
May I answer?
Yes, please.
Your Honor, we weren't going after Grubb & Ellis, that particular company. There's liability insurance in place for the exact type of accident that Mr. Leonard suffered. And we communicated that to this court. We communicated that to Grubb & Ellis that we would not go beyond the insurance for the type of incident that happened to Mr. Leonard.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is David Shaws, representing Respondent Grubb & Ellis Property Equity Advisors. We request the court affirm the trial court order granting summary judgment to Grubb & Ellis because Mr. Leonard has failed to establish sufficient evidence or bring forth sufficient evidence to establish any of the elements of negligence, including, and most importantly, a duty, a breach, and causation.
Well, let's focus on duty, because if there's no duty, the rest are immaterial.
Right.
I think he said when he got up that he couldn't find any case which established a duty under these circumstances. Have you?
No, I can find no. I mean, we searched the entire Washington cases and found no duty where a property manager has an obligation to an employee of the owner to provide services. The only case we could find was a property manager did not have a duty to repair a garage door when a tenant was injured. And this is sort of instructive, because what it's saying is the owner of the property had the duty to repair the garage door. The property manager did not. And it's sort of analogous to what we have here, where we have a situation where Microsoft owns the elevators. Microsoft owns the electrical system. Microsoft is in full charge and makes all decisions relating to capital improvements, equipment, and software to smooth out or coordinate electrical power as it comes in. What they've hired Grubb and Ellis to do is merely to investigate, not to fix, not to prevent, but investigate power outages. That directly infers or creates the inference that there will be power outages, because how could you investigate something which you couldn't have? So Grubb and Ellis investigates power outages because Microsoft is, as a computer company, imminently concerned about maintaining power to its computers. And, of course, elevators are an integral part of the campus, but if the power goes out to an elevator, anyone, including Grubb and Ellis, would only reasonably foresee that the elevator would come to a complete and safe stop, which it did in this case. In fact, we have an admission in the briefing for this court that there was no problems with the elevator. If there's no duty to provide uninterrupted service on the part of Grubb and Ellis, and there's no breach of any duty to provide elevator services, proper elevator services, we cannot possibly bring this case to the jury, Your Honors. It would simply be a waste of time. So we must have what I request is you affirm the trial court and find that Grubb and Ellis was properly dismissed as simply lacking a duty, lacking any evidence of breach of a duty, and we certainly have no causation that a power outage caused the injuries. If the elevator stopped abruptly because of the power outage, that would possibly be an action against either the elevator manufacturer or the manufacturer of the braking mechanism that stopped it, but not Grubb and Ellis, which is, as I just said, there's an admission that we're not negligent. So right now we fail to see how we could, in fact, Grubb and Ellis could, in fact, be held liable for negligence in a jury trial. This is absolutely a matter for summary judgment. If Your Honors have no further questions, I would like to address the sanctions issues.
Go ahead.
What happened, what we understand, was the bankruptcy court in New York basically said, or actually the Grubb and Ellis attorney in New York and the bankruptcy court said that parties could get a stipulation to go against insurance proceeds in the bankruptcy court. We have no objection to that. In fact, we provided all the bankruptcy papers to Mr. Lennon's attorneys. But we could not possibly assist in any way or help them. That would be a violation of our ethical duties to our client. We could not help them obtain that stipulation. Number one, none of the attorneys in Washington State are admitted in the bankruptcy court in New York. And number two, that's a matter properly brought only before the bankruptcy court, which, in fact, Mr. Leonard did. He did just what he needed to do, went to New York court, found a New York lawyer, admitted to the bankruptcy court, brought this stipulation or motion to go for the insurance proceeds, and that's fine with us. We have no problem with that. The problem is trying to bring sanction motion in Washington courts for something that was properly in another court, another jurisdiction. In other words, we have the wrong jurisdiction for the motion. We think that's a frivolous motion, and in fact, our costs for opposing that motion should be awarded here. So we have a CR 11. We think we have a valid CR 11, I guess, counter motion or cross motion to have our costs of preparing our response to that frivolous motion awarded to us. If judges have no further questions on this issue.
I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Your Honors, to address Grubb and Ellis' position that they only had to investigate power anomalies on the Microsoft campus, that's not what the pleadings state. John Parkins, the executive director of facilities, I believe, for the Microsoft campus, went into a little more detail than that, saying that they're responsible for the delivery of integrated facility management services to include delivery of electrical and related services. So they had more than a job just to investigate or troubleshoot the power anomalies. They actually, according to this declaration, had a duty to deliver these services to various areas of.
Was it his declaration or, in fact, the contract between Grubb and Ellis and Microsoft, which would give rise to a duty? Do you understand my question?
I do, Your Honor.
I don't see any argument here that the agreement between Microsoft and Grubb & Ellis is the source of the duty that you allege. Is that a problem?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I respectfully disagree. I do think the contract affects Microsoft. It doesn't, and Microsoft's employees, not just the signer of the contract, not just the company.
Yeah, but that isn't what you argued, is my point. You haven't argued that the contract is the basis of the duty.
Oh, I think that's what formed the relationship between Grubb & Ellis and Microsoft, which attached to Justin Leonard as an employee of Microsoft. And I guess, Your Honor, you asked me when I first stepped up here about a case, and I think a case that came to mind while I was sitting down that was somewhat analogous to this case is Wells v. City of Vancouver, a 1970 Supreme Court case. In that case, City of Vancouver had previous knowledge of high winds by an airport. In this case, Grubb & Ellis had previous knowledge of power anomalies that probably should have been addressed, not just investigated. Wells alleged that the City of Vancouver didn't abide by building codes, and I understand that that would probably be negligence per se, whereas here, failure to abide by industry standards and customs is relevant to determining negligence. In that case, excuse me, the plaintiff was injured because of these high winds. And in this case, Mr. Leonard was injured because a power anomaly, a power surge, actually did knock out power to the building. As with Wells, he provided expert testimony, unrebutted, I believe, and Mr. Leonard did provide expert testimony, which I know as a fact was unrebutted. And the court determined that the City of Vancouver was liable in that matter. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. The last matter on